Bruce Newberry.
The Food Dude.
Well, I have a treat for you. Traditional English Christmas cakes and puddings. Plum pudding, figgy pudding, if you will, made by the English cousins whom I just met, and I'm so happy to be able to talk to Patty and Sarah, the English cousins. Happy Christmas. Lovely to have you with us.
Happy Christmas, Bruce. Thank you so much for having us on today.
And may I tell you that one of the delights of my childhood with the plum pudding was not so much the plum pudding, but the hard sauce. My favorite thing in the world was hard sauce, and I think I found out why. It was known also as rum butter.
Yes, rum or brandy butter, depending on the alcohol that you put into it.
Yes.
I am.
Talk about Christmas spirit.
I mean, we all grew up eating it as small children, which I think that was, you know, encouraged actually by the adults so that the children would go to sleep very soon after the Christmas meal.
And I thought we got sleepy because of all the turkey.
All the booze in everything.
Booze in everything,
I mean,
you're right.
The Christmas puddings are soaked in Guinness and rum for days. You know, traditionally they would soak all the ingredients for several days. We use ours overnight, usually 24 hours, 48 hours sometimes. But because it plumps up all the fruit and it's also a preservative alcohol. So
That's what it was for originally, was just to preserve it so that it would, because they had to be made up ahead of time.
Exactly. And they were made, our grandmother always used to make the plum puddings, or we call them puddings, but the year before. Oh, yeah. She said, you know, she was making them in the fall, and they would be for the following Christmas, not that coming Christmas, because they had to age. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Patty's brother sent her a very interesting article from the BBC in England. There was a house clearance. How ago was it? They found it was...
It was a 1958.
You know, so they sent it to a laboratory, and they discovered that it was still perfectly edible, just a little dry. If they just soaked it in a little bit more liquor, it would have been completely perfect.
Wow. Now, that says a lot for the preservative power of the English spirit.
Yeah, there you go.
Also, it shows you how cold the houses are in England.
Yes.
That's true, isn't it? Oh, my gosh. So when we talk about plum pudding, we're talking about something that has no plums. So why was it called, or why is it called, plum pudding?
Well, I think originally, it dates back to the 14th century. Mm. And in those days, it had meat as well as fruit in it and spices. And then as time went on, it changed to just fruit. But didn't they call plums...
Well, they called all kinds of fruits plums. They called...
Exactly. Dried fruits. They just called plums.
Plums were available in England because, they grew there. They didn't grow grapes so much. They're a little bit. But they everything, when they used plums, it was just a generic term in the end for dried fruit.
Sure.
So they stopped using plums and they used dried fruit. You know,
which
like
became more available,
yeah.
You know, the currants, raisins, sultanas, which is what we use.
Yes.
Those sultanas are what we call golden raisins here. And then
currants are actually a gooseberry, which is dried.
Or red currants?
No, it's a gooseberry.
Yeah, it's usually dried gooseberries.
Same family as the currants.
Yeah. Now, what holds all this together? I mean, we have in the, Christmas pudding, the traditional English Christmas pudding by the English cousins, the plum pudding, we have raisins, currants, brown sugar, eggs and flour, shortening, breadcrumbs, apples, orange, lemon zest, cinnamon, clove, ginger, nutmeg, cardamom, allspice, stout, and rum. Oh, my.
Yeah.
It's quite a big old wet mixture. And
Well, the breadcrumbs help to sort of soak up a lot of the moisture, and the eggs also help to, and the flour helped to sort of set it. It's actually a very, it's slowly steamed for 4 hours just to cook it, 4 to 5 hours. And it kind of sets, but it's actually, when you lift it up, you might think, oh my God, this thing's like a brick. It's really heavy. But it's served hot, and when you warm it up again, it's actually very light and fluffy, even though it's got all this fruit in it. But the other thing, traditionally, everybody in the household would when they make the pudding, would all have to come and stir the pudding and make a wish.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's, you know. And I just read something recently that if there was an unmarried person in the house who forgot to stir the pudding, they would not find a partner that coming year.
Yes. So it brought luck.
In the old days, well, my mother used to put silver sixpences in the pudding. She'd wrap them a little piece of paper, and then the person who found the sixpence was really lucky.
Yes.
But then she put... people put silver charms in there. It's like the king cake or queen cake,
right,
you know, for Twelfth Night.
Yeah.
So. There's a lot of different traditions going on, but this cake was served on Christmas Day at Christmas dinner. Was it served on Twelfth Night as well?
No, I think it might. It's a big staple thing, you know, a heavy suet pudding, because it filled people up.
Yes.
You know, and
it's
poor people as well.
Quite. I mean, when we sell ours now, that even the one pinters, we do tell people that it will easily feed 4 people, because you don't need an awful lot, especially if you're having it as a dessert,
right,
after having a large meal, because it is so rich. It is so rich that it was actually banned by the Puritans in England.
Can't have that.
For a while. Yes, they were like, no, this is far too rich. Yes.
We didn't have it all that much, and we didn't have anything like the English cousins. Ours was Old Cross and Blackwell, but it came...
Oh, you poor thing.
What a shame. Never mind.
I'm with you.
No booze and
no real alcohol. Ours has the really full strength.
Yeah. you make softened butter, powdered sugar, and as much alcohol as it will absorb
without splitting.
Yes. Amazing. Of course, you have brought all of that back, and you send these puddings and cakes all over the country.
The world, actually.
Do you?
Yes. Some people, I have friends in Australia who have requested them. We're like, well, the postage is quite expensive because they're very heavy.
Right.
But we have shipped them all over the globe. So
to Japan,
Hong Kong,
Norway, Turkey, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Canada,
Brazil.
Oh my gosh. Have you sent them back to England?
Funnily enough.
Yes, actually. Family members always like, could we please? I'm like, really? You could just go and buy one so easily. But it's not made by you. So, okay, fair enough.
Did that make a difference in the day? I mean, was each pudding different depending on who the baker was or who the maker was?
I'm sure that they had little variations. I mean, nowadays, especially in the UK, you can buy probably, you know, 6 or 7 different recipes of Christmas pudding. Sometimes they have a clementine in the center of them. And others have
chocolate,
a bit of chocolate in them, or they have other, you know, fruits in them. So they, and a different, you know, port wine instead of Guinness, which is what we use. We use Guinness and rum. But I mean, in the UK, you pay a premium if you have it's aged. So if it's more than a year old or 6 months old, you actually pay more for it, because Yes. Yeah. It's like you can buy, they call them bespoke. They're like up to 5 years old, you know, so that they still sell them. And
that's a word that is getting co-opted these days, bespoke.
The, oh, I hate that word.
Yeah.
Is that one of those? Well, yeah, you use it in its proper connotation. Patty and Sarah, the English cousins. Now, at this point in our chat here, why don't we toss out how someone can get in touch with you and maybe order one? Can we still order one in time for Christmas?
Oh, yes.
Yes, you can. You've probably got about another week. And we can change depending on how far away.
All right, what do we do? What do we do? Because we're heard all over the country now. We're heard all over New England. We're heard in Indiana. We're heard in as well as Rhode Island. So you're making some new friends here. So tell us how we can find and get our official, real, authentic, bespoke English Christmas cakes and puddings by the English cousins.
You can go and find us on our website, which is www.EnglishChristmasCake.com.
When there's a real chill in the air, there are few things that can delight all your senses, like the wonderful things going on in the kitchen. The minute you hit the door, all your senses get engaged. The smell of the good things cooking. You hear the sizzle. You just can't wait to taste, particularly when that cook is preparing Gaspar's linguica or chorizo. Adding Gaspar's to any one of your favorite dishes, chili, pizza, omelets, sandwiches, lasagna, pasta sauce, there's almost no end to the wonderful ways Gaspar's can be served. And Gaspar's linguica comes in slices, franks, cocktail bites, and the traditional sausage. There's even sausage out of the casing for sauces and stuffing. So now that the cold weather is here, it's time to treat yourself to the unique taste of Gaspar's linguica once again. Available at all major supermarkets, Gaspar's, the Portuguese sausage the whole world has been enjoying for 100 years.
And you will find our website with our cakes and our puddings on. Mince pies also, and of course, the hard sauce.
Lovely.
And we also sell clotted cream from England.
As well. Just, you know, there's nothing.
Christmas.
Exactly. Nothing like Gilbilly. Why not?
For sure. Oh, my gosh.
Into a penny, into a pound, as they say.
So whereabouts are you all from?
I'm from Hertfordshire, which is just home county, it's just north of London.
Mm-hmm. And I was born in Wimbledon and grew up in London and in Suffolk in East Anglia.
Gotcha. My people are from Newbury, in Devon.
Yeah.
Lovely.
My cousin lives in Devon. Our cousin lives in Devon.
Another cousin.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Another English cousin.
So your cousins, you did not grow up together?
No,
actually, Patty is my mother's first cousin, and so she's a little older than me, and I didn't meet her actually until I came to Newport, because we both worked on boats, and I floated into town one day, and my mother said, "Oh, if you're going to Newport, you must look up your cousin, Patricia." And I thought, oh, poor Patricia, she's got this cousin coming into town, she's going to have to, you know, show her around, take her under her wing. And it's, but we met, and like from the second we met, hit it off. And Patty's like my sister.
Yeah. And the adopted sister.
Yes.
And Sarah's sister's the same. She's our sister.
Oh, how wonderful.
Really nice. Yeah.
Because I have two sisters and Patty has a brother. And so now she has three adopted sisters.
Fantastic. Patty and Sarah, the English cousins. So how did the puddings and the cakes come about? How did you find out that you had this affinity and that they would become so popular?
Well, I guess friends of ours locally, you know, because we both work in the food business and have for many years, had said to us in the wintertime, oh, couldn't you make a Christmas pudding or a cake? We'd really love one. So we started just doing a couple for friends. And I think that the second or third time we did it, we made 12 puddings. And we thought, wow, this is enormous. But of course, and we used to make them in our grandmother's old china pudding basins.
Oh, yeah.
And we used to wrap them in muslin and
steam them for hours and days on end.
And we're Now we laugh about it as we make literally hundreds in it. Yeah. We're, you know, in a big commercial kitchen.
Of course, of course.
About our days when we started.
The process is so fascinating, though, because to make the authentic pudding, it has to spend some time in cloth, does it not?
No,
no, it's not. Not.
Oh gosh!
Another
Dickens illusion shattered.
No. Back in the day, you know, before they had modern things like we have, our pudding basins now are high heat plastic with lids. And back in the day, they just had, you know, a pot or a china bowl, and they would have to wrap it in the muslin and tie it tight to contain all the ingredients, and then they would steam it in that bowl for hours on end.
Which we did when we started.
Very unpractical for high yield.
Oh, for sure, making, yes. Definitely, you know, labor intensive.
Mass production, it was like, this is never going to work for more than a dozen at a time. And we used to sell them in the china pots that we found. It was, I mean, barking.
Oh, amazing.
Let's talk about a couple of our very diehard customers still have their little bowls.
Oh, yes. Well, let's talk about the Christmas cakes. So the Christmas cake is a dressed up fruit cake. Yes?
Excuse me. It's not dressed up. It's a traditional fruit cake. It doesn't have any of the nasty big chunky bits in it.
No. When we say fruitcake, we say it affectionately, lovingly, and reverently. And we're not talking about those things that have become the subject of jokes for so many years, and you use them as a doorstop and all that. If you've ever had an actual fruitcake, they are wonderful.
Yeah. We call them Christmas cakes because people think when you say fruitcake, oh, doorstop.
Right.
Yes, people don't. It's funny. A few years ago, we actually went to a Christmas fair, and we were sampling it out, and people would just walk by and they would grab a piece and pop it in their mouth, and then say, "What is it?"
Yes.
And we'd go, "Well, it's fruitcake," and they'd be going, "Oh, but I hate fruitcake, but this is delicious." And it's funny because a lot of who become customers of ours who are either from the Caribbean or from places like Brazil or even India, it's like a rum cake, and they know it as a rum cake because everything is literally soaked in the liquor. And then also the cakes, when they come out of the oven from being baked, we pour rum over them again, and it soaks into them and helps preserve them, and it helps keep them moist. And then to get them to be what we know as a Christmas cake, we then paint with a mixture of apricot jam and, you guessed it, more rum. Mm. And that gets, and that is like the glue that then holds a layer of rolled out marzipan.
Yes.
And the marzipan then goes on, and then we make royal icing. And the royal icing is made from powdered sugar, egg white, lemon juice, and a bit of glycerin. And that gets whipped up and put on. When you look at it in a photo, you might think it was cream. It's very white and fluffy looking. And that gets put on, and it sets hard. You have to leave it for 24 to 48 hours to actually go hard. And then we ribbon them, and we package them up, and we ship them out.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sure that people give these, and the gift recipients just can't wait to get it, and it becomes part of the whole celebration and maybe even the decor, because these are beautiful. They could be the centerpiece.
We have so many customers, repeat customers, who say, oh, it's not Christmas without your cake or your pudding.
Yeah.
They become our friends, although we've never met them. Year after year, we hear from them, and it's really nice.
We've also had a couple of customers who've sadly passed away and have always given them to family members as Christmas presents. And they have got in touch with us and said, we're going to carry on the tradition because we love it so much. And continue to send them out to everybody in the family, which is lovely.
Yeah.
Now that we know quite a bit more about food than we did, I'm sure that there's always been a story. Now, we've had some wonderful stories about what goes into your Christmas cakes and puddings and things.
It's such a traditional...
Just a tradition. They just want to know that you're using the traditional things and that you're keeping it real.
Yes. I mean, we've only had one in all the years that we've been doing it. We've only had one customer who was an American gentleman, and he was looking for a fruitcake. And when he received ours, having found us on the website, we do actually have photographs of them, but I guess he didn't look closely at them. And he was disappointed because it did not have the gigantic artificially colored
red and green
cherries all over the top, which we don't use. We try and stay away from any kind of artificial coloring or ingredients. We like to keep it as close to the traditional recipe.
But we managed to source orange and lemon peel.
Yes.
It has such a wonderful fresh flavor.
Yes.
You know, if you bite a piece of cake, you can isolate that flavor very easily. So that it's sort of try and keep it as natural as possible.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. You touched on the recipe. Where's the recipe from?
My grandmother, her great grandmother. It was in a recipe book, which my mother gave to me. She's dated back to, I think, 1910 or something. So it was pre-World War One.
Oh, my.
She's got some great ingredients.
I was going to say, did you have to make any adjustments for the modern day? I mean, there must have been some real traditional type things that we just don't use anymore.
Too much.
Is that right?
Yeah, no, it's pretty much spot on.
Talk about real.
We have our own spice mix, which is, in England, it's called mixed spice. And that's where all the mixed, you know, the different cardamom, ginger, clove, nutmeg, allspice, that's where that comes from. And we have a recipe which we actually give to a spice mill in Rhode Island. And they blend it up for us in 5-pound containers because we used to do our own. And it just got too much. And then we met this man who, with his company, had big, you know, mixes for restaurants and things. So we gave him our recipe. And they do it now for us, which
is great. It saves a lot of time.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we certainly want to give all of our friends the chance to make sure that they place an order and to really get the most authentic, the most real English, right out of the storybook, Christmas puddings, fruitcakes.
Absolutely.
I do have to ask you, though, when we say, bring us some figgy pudding, what is it that we're talking about?
Christmas pudding.
The pudding.
When we say, bring us some figgy pudding, we're talking about the English cousins' Christmas pudding.
Absolutely.
Yes. And it's traditionally, and it says it on the instructions that come on the label, it tells you how to heat up the Christmas pudding because it would be served, used to, you know, steam it again, but now we have microwaves. And so they can pop it in the microwave and warm it right up and then warm some either brandy or rum. And as you bring it to the table, light it so it's a flaming Christmas pudding.
Really?
Bring it in.
Holly stuck in the middle of it.
Yes.
It makes a good bonfire.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So now the Cratchits didn't light theirs on fire though.
I think that's only because of the stage production and having
in the theater. I see.
Because they would have. It would have been.
They would have actually flamed it, really?
Unless, of course, they were probably too poor to afford any kind of hard liquor. But I mean, gin
that's what
was
I was. That's what I was guessing
day.
That they were just. Yeah. They just were so poor that because it's such a key scene that they are gathering around the pudding. And I think, and in the movies, they did have each child take a spoon and spoon some of the pudding, which would speak to the tradition that you're talking about, that everybody has to take a turn and stir it. They took a little license, but it had the idea. But I would imagine that that's what the story point was. I'm going to have to go look that up now, because they were probably just not of enough means to be able to have any brandy around.
That's probably right. Yeah.
They had some gin.
Not very palatable, but it would burn.
Well, sure.
And I was just thinking, as I was talking to you, even in the royal family in Britain now, they still all children, the young princes and princesses, they always go into the kitchen and they make a Christmas pudding. Everybody in the household has a go at stirring and making a wish.
I love it. It's so wonderful. And you can recreate it and maybe just bring it into your home for the very, very first time with the Real English Christmas Cakes and Puddings by the English Cousins from Middletown, Rhode Island. It is so wonderful to catch up with you. You can order online. And Patty and Sarah, give us one more time the place that we can go to order and to find out more about these traditional English Christmas cakes and puddings.
Certainly. It's the www.englishchristmascake.com. That's our website, and you can order from there. And we're delighted that we got to talk to you today.
Oh, it was my great, great pleasure. Thank you so very, very much. Merry Christmas. Happy Christmas. Happy New Year.
Happy Christmas to you and all your listeners.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much.
I hope some of them get to enjoy.
Thank you, Patty and Sarah.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bruce Newberry.
The food dude.